Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for this hour and this podcast. We're all about old-time radio, and we have two examples for you today. One of them's a soap opera, but first, we're going to go to People Are Funny from 1958, and this is called Making Up Your Mind. And then we'll do that soap opera that's called The Marriage and How They Met and They Married from 1952. Now, People Are Funny.
This is Nightline, and this is Walter O'Keefe, inviting you to listen in on the world. Tonight's first call, Hollywood. And here's People Are Funny with my good friend Art Linkletter.
Yes, Ron Goodell's production of People Are Funny, brought to you by NBC Radio. Repeating the best shows of the past season. And now, here is America's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, people are funny about making up their minds. Now, if you had your choice of three packages, would you pick the largest one? Do you believe in the saying that the best things come in small packages? On the other hand, you might be the conservative type who more or less takes the middle of the road. Just before we went on the air, we picked a guest out of our studio audience, and we are going to give them a chance to make that choice tonight. So would you come out, please? Oh, it's a lieutenant. Come on out here, lieutenant. Let's give him a nice welcome. People are funny. Lieutenant
Phillips.
Of the United States Army?
Yes, Art.
Air Force?
Air Force.
You're a married man?
A married man.
Any children?
I have two.
Aged?
Yes, one is six, and the other is not quite two.
All right, now where do you come from originally?
Originally from Charleston, West Virginia.
And you've been in the service how many years?
As an enlisted man, five, and as an officer, five.
Are you going to be a career man and stay in through the entire time?
Yes, I am a career man.
Good for you. Now, how'd you happen to be at People Are Funny tonight?
Well, my wife and I are vacationing here.
Now, Bill, you're a man who, as an Army officer, has to make decisions at one time or another and command men.
Yes, Art.
Tonight, we're going to give you a chance to make a rather difficult decision. Here are three packages. Let's just walk back here for a moment. This package to your left, Bill, is a package that we might call a papa package. The dimensions, which are roughly 12 feet long, 4 or 5 feet high, and about 15 feet the other way. That's a pretty big package, wouldn't you say?
Must be something big in there.
Well, I tell you what it could be in there. A small Caterpillar tractor with a Continental kit. Or a glass-bottom boat, or a ton of assorted dinosaur bones. It could be worth a couple of $1,000, or it might cost you $10 to have what's in there carted out to the city dump and destroyed. You know, this is People Are Funny. Now, right here is the mama package, we might call it. It's kind of medium size, not nearly as large. It's about 4 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet. And it might contain a $1,000 mink coat, or an $800 Magnavox color television set, or a large stock of condemned bananas. Now, what do you think of the two packages you've seen so far, Lieutenant?
Well, Art, I think maybe my wife would like that package.
Yeah, it's wrapped like more prettily, isn't it, with the green ribbon and all. Now, we come to the little baby package right over here. This plain brown paper bag, resting like a jewel on this velvet cloth on this table, is the smallest. Now, that could easily be the most valuable because it could contain either a $5,000 diamond-studded wristwatch, two round-the-world airplane tickets on KLM Airlines, the finest in overseas flying, or, well, it might be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is quite a dilemma and poses a very interesting problem for the lieutenant. You can have your pick, the small brown sack, the medium-sized box, or the tremendous box. What does your snap judgment tell you to take?
My snap judgment, Art, says take the big box. But having been married 9 years, my wife says valuable things come in small packages.
Uh-huh. Well, now I tell you, Lieutenant, remember this. I'm not going to give you any hints. I may even confuse you further. But remember this, that on this program, we may figure one way or we may figure another. I'll give you one little clue. The contents of two of these boxes can make a sound. And the contents of one of these three packages cannot make a sound. Is your wife out in the audience?
Yes, Art.
Maybe you'd want to have her yell out as to which one she would like.
The three of them.
The three of them?
Yes.
It sounds to me like you married a girl from south of the border, huh?
Ah, sí, señor.
No, sí, señora. But she says the three of them. It is impossible, madame, for the three to go. You must take uno.
Take the big one, Bill.
She now yells, take the big one, Bill.
Well, Art, in a predicament like that, my intuition tells me to take the medium-sized one. However, having been married 9 years, my better judgment says take the small one.
And she says to take the big one. Are you going to obey your intuition, your own judgment, or your wife?
I'll take the medium-sized one.
All right. He's made his decision. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go over here and see what you missed. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's look in the little one first. I will take the package up, and I will open it. And here, you put your hand in. A peanut butter sandwich. So you see what your judgment did. Now we're going to look over here, and we're going to see what is in the big box before we see what you take. So, boys, open the big box, and they're going to swing it away, and you'll see a brand new Rambler custom cross-country. A Rambler custom cross-country four-door station wagon with luxurious interior equipped with airliner reclining seats. And all of it. Now wait till your wife gets you home. She kept yelling, the big box. Well, on the other hand, think of the traffic tickets you've just saved yourself. Well, Lieutenant, I wouldn't want to deprive you of the final fun of seeing what choice you finally did make. This is the middle size of the mama box. So, take it away, boys, and let's see what they got. Well, it's a beautiful Thomas electronic organ worth about $800. Now, this is a marvel of electronic engineering. Fun for the family. Do you play the organ?
Not yet.
Does your wife play the organ?
She soon will.
Of course, your two children will play the organ professionally. Lieutenant, thanks for proving once again that people are funny. Goodbye and good luck. In just 60 seconds from now, we'll hear people continue to prove that people are funny.
When you're feeling tense and irritable and you're bothered by irregularity,
take X-Lax. X-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight.
When you feel listless and dragged out and you're bothered by irregularity,
take X-Lax. X-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight.
Whenever you need a laxative,
take X-Lax at bedtime. X-Lax won't disturb sleep, and next morning, you'll be well on the way toward your normal regularity, without upset, without discomfort. And thanks to its gentle effectiveness, X-Lax is almost never needed again the next night.
Whenever you need a laxative,
take pleasant-tasting, chocolated X-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight.
Whenever anyone in your family needs a laxative,
you can rely on X-Lax, America's largest-selling laxative. X-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity.
This is Pierre Jalbert. 2 weeks ago, he said that he was ready to settle down if he could find the right girl. And here is the attractive girl that Univac, the electronic matchmaker, found for him. Her name is Ramona Scott, and she, of course, is looking for an ideal man to settle down with. They saw each other for the first time on this stage 2 weeks ago tonight. The object? Matrimony, perhaps? Money? Most certainly. A possible $20,000, which we always keep on hand in loose change in this wheelbarrow for easy moving off. Everything is in its favor, so let's see how the romance is coming along. Would you join me, Ramona and Pierre? How was the week?
Just marvelous.
Any dining and dancing?
Oh, yes, we had a wonderful time. Went to the Imperial Gardens. It's a Japanese place. It's lots of atmosphere and lots of Japanese music and wonderful food.
Isn't that the place where you sit down?
That's right. You have to.
No back to hold you up?
No back to hold you up.
Fold your legs underneath you?
That's right.
Went there once, and after the dinner was over, they had to get me off on a stretcher. My legs wouldn't work any longer.
We had the same thing happen to us.
Quite slightly.
But it's a romantic spot, isn't it?
It is a wonderful place, yes. Yeah.
What do you find that you like best about Pierre so far?
Well, I like many things about Pierre, but I do think that his courtesy and to me, his manners impress me a great deal. His sense of humor... It's just marvelous to be with somebody that you you can say something with, and that he laughs at all my jokes, you know.
Oh, good audience.
He sure is. And he's a wonderful dancer, and when we go out, he is certainly a gourmet. He enjoys the same type of foods that I do, and frankly, I'm overwhelmed with Univac.
Univac has made a good choice. Now, what do you find you like best about Ramona, Pierre?
Well, what I like about Ramona is that, apart from being pretty, she is alert, and very intelligent. And one thing is that we have a very, very similar sense of humor, which is quite necessary these days.
And very important.
Quite.
I keep asking about what you two like about each other. Maybe a more pertinent and more pointed thing is, have you found anything you dislike about each other?
Frankly, Arthur, I haven't.
No,
yeah, be honest.
No, I am honest. This is sincere. I haven't. No, I haven't. I haven't found anything that is dislikable, and everything is wonderful.
Well... Fine. Maybe I can find something that you won't like. Let me see. If you were to marry, do you think that the other person should have the right to open the other person's mail?
Definitely not.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
I mean, there are things in life that you must keep secret. Yeah.
Ah, these French men. They get around you one way or the other. Now, let's get down following the little reprise of the romantic part of our meeting. Let's get down to the practical dollar and cents value of playing the anagram game for $6,000, the third step on the way to $20,000, and we're now to turn our table around and find which letters are hiding the six and the four zeros. Tonight, it is NTSE, one vowel and three consonants. And behind one of these is the letter 6, behind the others are zeros, and if you make the right word and would like to stop, you can take the $6,000 and go home. All right, Pierre and Ramona, with all of the whispering going on in the audience, I can tell that they're all playing the game. $6,000, or you can come back and try for 10 on the way to 20. It's up to you. All right, Pierre. Here goes the exchanging the letters. He takes the letter T and the S and moves them in opposite directions. So that now it's N-S-T-E. Now it's S-E-N-T is sent. Ramona is suggesting N-E-S-T now. That's the motherly feeling in her coming out. N-E-S-T is now our word. There are several more words. Are you ready?
All right.
All right, let's start it. Well, we're going to take the middle letter S, and if there's six behind this, you've made $60. There's a zero. You're going for $6,000. Then we'll try the letter E. This would be $600. Kind of fun, isn't it, to play this game? Pierre is perspiring. Instead of water, French francs are coming out. Now we have N and T left, and behind one of them is the letter 6. So you could either make $6,000 or $6. And we love to prolong the delightful and exquisite agony of matchmaking and monetary returns. And so we once again titillate you with the prospect of either going on for $10,000 next week or selecting and betting on what you have here? Remember, last week you would have lost. You'd have had
$3. That's true.
This week you might have $6,000 or $6,000, or you can go on and come back for $10. I'll tell you what I'll do. Since you're up to $10,000, if you come back next week, and to help keep the blaze going in this romance, if you come back for $10,000 next week, and you wind up with $1 or $10 or $100, I'll give you as a consolation prize a trip to New York aboard a luxurious United DC-7 mainliner, the nation's number one airline, and then a KLM Royal Dutch airliner hop for the finest in overseas flying to Paris, France, which you could take as a honeymoon if you get married, or as a pleasant way to mend two broken hearts if you don't. So with that kind of a prospect, will you come back next week for 10?
We'd love it.
You'd love it? I'll tell you another good reason why you should come back next week. You'd have paid $6. $6. Your choice of cent, S-E-N-T, would have also won you $6 because it was back of the letter T. The $6,000 word was T-E-N-S, or tens, plural of the word ten. And so, next week, you'll be back, Pierre. Live each hour to its fullest, because these may be your last days as a bachelor. Good night, Ramona. Good night, Pierre. We'll be back in a minute, 60 seconds, to prove to you, as always, that people are funny.
To the 40 million citizens who own United States savings bonds, the government says congratulations. Now here's some mighty important information about Series E savings bonds. The bonds you buy now pay a higher interest rate, and pay it faster, too. Since February 1st, 1957, the interest rate has been increased to 3.25%. This means you get back $4 for every $3 invested in a shorter maturity period of only 8 years and 11 months. They also pay higher returns in the early years, too. So, for safety, for a guaranteed return, for an easy way to regular savings, you can't find a better investment than savings bonds. But don't wait. Start buying the new, improved United States savings bonds where you work on the payroll savings plan, or buy them regularly at your bank. For the big things in your life, be ready with United States savings bonds.
It's fun to come down in the audience and try to prove that people are funny with people out of the audience. And we do it in various ways, playing quick little games. For instance, who are you, sir?
Ed Contrato.
Where are you from?
Inglewood, California.
What business are you in?
I'm working for a Shell Oil Company.
I'll tell you what I'll do with you, Mr. Contrato. I'll give you $50 cash right now if you can count from 10 to 1 backwards in 5 seconds. Go.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm sorry? Counting from 10 to 1 backwards is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh.
I didn't say from 1 to 10. I said from 10 to 1. Isn't that a dirty trick? Mr. Contrato, your consolation is not $50, but 50 dimes. There you are. Speaking of dimes, here's a dime. Here's a pretty girl. Who are you?
Kay Cribb.
Where are you from, Kay?
I'm from Westchester.
Hey, what I'll do with you, Kay, while we're having a little fun down here, I'll bet you a dime that I can kiss you without touching you.
I bet you can't.
All right, is it a bet?
It's a bet.
All right, now hold still. Shut your eyes. You can't look.
But you did kiss me, and you did touch me.
That's right, I did. Here's the dime. I lose more bets that way. Strawberry preserves, I love them. We'll see that you get a nice bottle of Arpège perfume by Lanvin. Now let me see. Let me have a little concentration here. How are you on money? Do you like money?
I like money very well.
All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $20 if you can pass this test. Stand up and tell me who you are, first of all.
I'm Stan Cagle.
From where?
Oh, Los Angeles.
What business are you in?
I'm an intern.
An intern?
Mm-hmm.
Studying to be a doctor.
Well, yeah.
You can use any kind of money, can't you?
Very well.
Interns, I think, get around $8 a month, don't they?
A little more than that.
Not much.
Not much.
Here we go. This is a test on concentration. Listen carefully. A streetcar starts out with 20 passengers. Got that? The first stop, it drops 2 and picks up 3. At the next stop, four people get on and nobody gets off. Then it takes on four and loses four. Next, it loads five and unloads six. Then six get off and nobody gets on. And then it comes to the end of the line. You follow me carefully?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll give you a $20 bill if you can tell me how many stops a streetcar made.
Seven.
Seven, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was six. Were you counting those as we went along?
I thought I counted the first one, too.
Yeah, there were only seven counting. There were only six counting the end of the line.
Okay.
You missed it by one. However, you were so close, and you're an intern, and someday you may be standing over me. You get the $20. See you after the show. Do you think people are funny? If you're still not convinced, listen to what we'll do in just a moment.
Hi, this is Dorothy Olson. Summertime is picnic time, and picnics are a good way to have a happy family time. Somehow food just tastes better outside. Picnics are easy in this day and age. One quick sweep through your corner grocery store and you've got all the fixings. Want a quick menu idea? You don't even have to write it down. You'll remember it. Pick up a can of your favorite luncheon meat. Slice it about an inch thick and alternate each slice with a section of canned pineapple. Wrap it in aluminum foil and pop it into the barbecue grill. Simple? That's about as fancy as you have to get to make your picnic meals imaginative. Of course, there are always the old standbys that are so wonderful. Roasted Franks, charcoal-broiled hamburgers or steaks. Mmm, my. And potato salad is so easy to make. And many places now you can buy it ready-made. Let's go on a picnic. Today, summertime is outdoor eating time.
Well, that does it for tonight. But next week on People Are Funny, a waitress, a woman cab driver, and a society matron. And one bewildered woman trying to sort which is which. See if you can do it next week. Good night, everybody.
This is NBC.
Aren't you glad?
Aren't you glad?
You were styled.
Don't you wish?
Don't you wish?
Here's that skyrocketing star of Paramount Pictures singing Willie the Wolf of the West, Cass Daly. I met him in the hills of old Wyoming. Boy, did he live up to that cognomen, Willie the Wolf of the West. He drove an old jalopy that couldn't make the grade, and when he said I'd go for you, I tucked him on the head. Because I'm a city slicker, and I'm singing Who's Afraid of Willie the Wolf of the West. 4 score and 1 B-car to go. It was twilight on the trail. I was all alone. My car had broken down, and he offered me a lift into town. La Tierra Rute. And how he went to town. The minute that I sat down, whoa, what a Romeo. We found a hot spot on the low prairie. Proposed to me. I said no. He said thanks, and he started away, and I yelled at him, hey! Wait for baby. Well, we bought a home where the buffaloes roam, and boy, how he buffaloed me. Cause that La Ferry-O said that he was in the dough, but he had a pocket full of He's that jingle, jangle, jingle. And my nerves jingled with him right along. Till one night, the night that I kissed him in the dawn, that swine had somebody else's lipstick on. He had met a lady called Dolores. A freckle-faced kid, but oh, what she did with one swingaroo. She was fine, Papa. She was built like, man alive, did I see stars that night? She sunk her right deep in my solar plexus.
My mama done told me.
So if I see Willie hanging around my place, I'll go right into Willie's face. With all the prairie queens, that boy was aces. Willie, the wolf of the west. And just in case he might not place their faces, he has them tattooed on his chest. I heard that his collection was quite a work of art. Brunettes and blondes and redheads by the score were on his heart. But I found on close inspection I was in the faded part. Oh, but Willie, the wolf of the world.
Thank you, Cass Daly, for that number from your new picture, Riding High.
The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting a new series starring Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin as Anne and James Wallace in The Marriage. When you look ahead, marriage promises to be a cavalcade of historic events. But when you look back on it, you sometimes find that the apparently uneventful has become the unforgettable. Any way you look at it, marriage remains the most popular domestic arrangement among friendly people. And that brings us to our story of Anne and James.
I don't know about this business of love at first sight. When I was introduced to Anne, I only thought that she was a nice girl with attractive eyes, and I said, "How do you do?" And I looked around the room for something with a little more yumph. I was very young. I left her at her door that night with a feeling of respect for her intelligence. Which means, of course, that she'd listen prettily while I went over the fine points in the case of the State of New York versus Hutchins, Hogan, and Prosnick, which I was working on at the time. Very interesting case, too. Well, anyway, I walked to the subway and I forgot all about her. No one was more surprised than I when I called her in the morning and asked her for a date. And on that rainy night, 3 weeks later, in the hallway of her apartment house, if anybody had told me that I was going to ask her to marry me, well, I would have said he was crazy.
Good night, James.
Good night, Anne.
Good night, James.
Good night, Anne.
Oh, good night, James.
Good night, Anne.
You better go now, James. This time you'd really better.
Why? You worried about old what's-her-name, landlady?
Mrs. Grady? Well, she's awake. That's her radio.
Well, what of it?
A girl who lives alone has to be careful of her reputation.
Hee hee. How's your reputation?
James, stop that.
With Mother coming to town tomorrow, I don't want Mrs. Grady giving her a lot of ideas.
Well, she can't do that. That's slander and defamation of character. Oh, I love that perfume. Don't ever use any other kind.
Oh, it's easy for you. You don't live here. I do. And you're not a single girl. I am.
I defy Mrs. Grady. Mrs. Grady, I defy...
James, please.
Sorry.
Let's say goodnight now. I mean, really. I'm so wet.
Look, come on. Stand over here. There. Ah. Comfortable? Oh, how I hate apartment houses. When we get married, let's get a house. I don't care how small or how far away.
I beg your pardon?
What?
What did you just say?
Hate apartments, like houses.
You mentioned marriage.
Oh, of course, married first. You can't just ignore convention.
James, dear, a girl likes to be asked.
Oh, but I took it for granted that you...
Well, that's just it.
Oh, well, then I better ask you.
That would be nice.
I don't think I'm going to be very good at this.
Try.
Well, here goes. Dear Anne, caught as I am between Mrs. Grady inside and the rain outside. No, that's forget about that. That's not right.
Well, it did sound a little as though you were trapped.
Anne, darling, if this was somewhere where it isn't, if the sun was shining and the birds sang instead of Mrs. Grady's radio, and I had my arm around you and we were alone, I'd kiss you and then I'd kiss you again. I tell you that I love the color of your hair and the way you laughed and how gentle and wise you are. Does this sound as though I were taking inventory?
Go on.
And then, when I'd found the courage and the right words, I'd just come out and say it.
What would you say?
Anne, please marry me. Well?
You mean it's my turn?
You only have to say yes.
Is that all?
Well, I suppose you could say no. I'd rather you didn't.
Doesn't it matter whether I love you?
Oh, yes, of course. We'd better establish that first, because...
James, will you kiss me?
Well, don't be silly.
And now, good night, darling. Oh, I hope I have my key.
But you can't do that.
Can't a girl sleep on it? It's very late, and besides, I have to meet Mother early in the morning.
Anne, now I ask you, you have to answer. You can't just turn me off like a faucet. I've got to know where I stand.
In a puddle, darling.
Oh, no, you know what I mean.
James, Mother arrives tomorrow. I want you to meet her.
Yeah, but I'm proposing
to
you.
It's going to seem a little strange to her, my knowing you such a short time, and... Well, she never approved of my coming to New York to begin with. And if Father had been alive, he would have forbidden it.
Why?
Well, after all, in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, New York is considered rather a dangerous place to send one's daughter all by herself, especially to study art. Mother's hardly reconciled to that, and now...
Anne, if she doesn't like me, would that make a difference to you?
Of course it wouldn't make any difference to me.
Thank you, darling. Of course, it is possible that she could resist me.
Why do you insist that Mama will dislike you?
Well, it's just the circumstances. You pointed them out yourself. You know what I mean.
Are you sure there isn't something sinister about you that an inexperienced girl wouldn't notice, but that her mother would?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, middle-aged ladies usually like me very much.
Oh, don't brag.
Not bragging. I'm only trying to reassure you. Anne, dear, I want to marry you more than anything else in the world. Now, do you or do you not feel the same way about me?
Must I answer yes or no, counselor?
No, of course not.
Dear James, dear impulsive man, I don't know you at all, really.
But you will.
No, don't interrupt. I don't know you at all. But even now, here in this shabby hallway with Mrs. Grady listening and the rain running off my collar and down my neck, I think I love you very, very much. Will that do?
Yes, Anne. Yes, that's terribly nice to know. I may burst with happiness.
I don't know what what it was. This talk of marriage 3 weeks after meeting James was something I didn't expect. And yet, looking back, I think I had a feeling about him the moment we met at the party. James pretended to be so sophisticated and devil-may-care. Well, I just wanted to mother him. I don't know exactly when I stopped feeling simply maternal and got a younger feeling when I started loving him. Well, I met the train from Fitchburg and told Mother I was thinking of marrying James. Oh, dear. Her face got set the way it had when I told her I was going to New York. Poor Mama. I knew that she was going to be hard on James. Even so, I couldn't wait to exhibit him. My James. But as that wouldn't be possible until the evening, I introduced her to my next most prized possession, my apartment.
Doesn't this wallpaper make you terribly depressed? I'd have the blues from morning till night.
No, I've been very happy with this wallpaper. I've been happy with everything for 3 weeks.
Yes, I know.
You're going to love him, Mama. I can't wait until tonight. Oh, look at the time. I'd better put these dishes away.
I just can't help wishing he was something besides a lawyer.
What's wrong with lawyers?
Well, lawyers always smoke cigars and wear dark gray suits.
James smokes a pipe, and I've never seen him in a dark gray suit.
Can't be much of a lawyer. And even if he is, they don't make good husbands.
Now, Mama, is that a fair thing to say?
Well, you can't tell me that a man can spend the day fooling around with loopholes and tricky language and then come home and give his wife a straight answer.
No. Oh, Mama.
You'll ask him why he's late for dinner and he'll wherefore and whereas you till he's blue in the face.
Mama, stop it. You haven't even met him yet.
And I'd like to hear what your father would have said about your marrying a strange lawyer whom you've known for only 3 weeks. Who claims to have a family up in Canada that nobody's ever seen.
Mother, you're being ridiculous.
Ridiculous, am I? You're ready to give away your life to a man you've known only 3 weeks. 21 days.
Well, it is an awfully short time, I admit.
For all you know, he may have a wife and children somewhere. All right, go on, laugh at me. But learning to live with another person is the most difficult thing in the world. Even with a man you've known for years, let alone 3 weeks.
I know, Mama.
Your father was a wonderful man in all the big ways, but there were little things about him that nearly drove me out of my mind. Just little things, but I had to live with them.
For instance?
Well, he... Oh, it sounds silly, but he used to put ketchup on his eggs. I never told him, but if there's anything that takes away my appetite, it's eggs with ketchup on them. It happened every morning of my married life, and I could never eat breakfast until lunchtime, and it wasn't funny.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mama.
It's things like that that make marriage unbearable when you find them out too late.
Well, it didn't make your marriage unbearable, did it? You've always said Father was a devoted husband.
Yes, but I might have found a devoted husband who wasn't devoted to ketchup on his eggs.
But, Mama... Oh,
this man might have habits that would make you miserable. You'll be married a long time, dear. And a long time with the wrong man is... Well, it's a long time.
Yes. Yes, it is. Mama... I'm going to be sensible about it. Yes, I'm going to find out a lot more about James. You know something, Mama?
What, dear?
I must have been more worried about this than I thought, because suddenly I feel relieved.
When I left Anne that night after proposing, I couldn't wait to get home and tell Tony. I was walking on air. Well, for 2 blocks, anyway. Then the elation suddenly evaporated in the cold night air, and the events of the hallway became unreal, and I was alone with the disconcerting fact that I'd asked a girl to be my wife. I got butterflies in the stomach, big apprehensive ones with wildly flapping wings. Why hadn't I kept my big mouth shut? At least until I considered the consequences. I was scared stiff. I crept into bed, trying not to wake Tony, but, well, sleep was impossible. Oh, take it in the first place, huh? Some men just have to face it. 3 o'clock.
What did you say?
Oh,
You awake, Tony?
Awake? You know, Junior, when I agreed to share this one-room paradise with you, I didn't bargain for your nightmare. It's eating you anyway.
Tony, I feel terrible.
Hey, wait, I'll turn on the light. Why don't you take a bicarb or a couple of aspirins?
Wish it were that easy. Tony, this is serious. I asked Anne to marry me.
And then what'd she say?
I don't want to get married. I'm not ready.
Easy, Junior. We all have to go sometime.
What got into me? Why did I ask her? I can't get married now and take on all that responsibility. I must have been out
now,
of
now,
my...
Now, let's not get excited.
How am I going to get out of it? It'll break her heart.
Then I take it she said yes.
No, not yet. I'm sure she's going to. And then what am I going to do?
Marry her.
What? You're the guy who always said that when a man becomes a husband, he stops being an individual.
Oh, I say a lot of things. I'm very clever.
You remember that night on the subway when you picked out the married men by the way they looked? Depressed, harried, shabby.
Yeah. We were real wise guys, weren't we?
Tony, you're not helping me. I thought I could count on you, but...
Sure. I said, and I still say, if a man marries the wrong girl, it's the end of him as an individual. Okay.
That's what I said you said.
But if he marries the right girl, it may be just the beginning. Sometimes it works out. Some of my best friends are married. My mother and father, for instance. And didn't you tell me your parents were happy?
Yes, but my father was the type who needs to get married to be happy.
What type are you, Junior?
Tony, I'm not what I seem. You know, conventional, conscientious, disciplined. Underneath, in me, anyway, there's a streak of primitive wildness.
Oh, no.
Tony, this is very serious. Honestly, I don't think I'm the type to be satisfied with a domestic life.
Why not? Even Tarzan had a mate.
Oh, stop kidding me, will you? I'm sorry I ever started this.
Don't be sorry. Maybe you're right. Could be you're a born bachelor and that's it.
Then I'm back where I started. And what am I going to do about Anne? May kill her when I tell her I've changed my mind.
I don't think it will.
Tony, she's crazy about me.
Maybe. But she's a good-looking girl. She won't be heartbroken for long.
Oh, Anne's not a coquette, Tony. When that girl gives her heart, she gives it for keeps.
Maybe, but don't worry about it. One of those handsome models she meets in art school might find a way to make her forget.
Oh, no, not Anne. No, she's not impressed with muscle.
Okay.
So she'll meet some brilliant artist. She'll have more in common with an artist than a lawyer anyway.
Oh, I don't know. Some artists are practically inarticulate.
Hmm.
I won't argue the point, Counselor. I'm going back to sleep. Try it yourself.
No. Never be happy with an artist.
Go to sleep.
Too level-headed.
Good night, Jim. Mm.
Good night. Tony.
Yes, Junior? What now?
Tony. If we get married before your vacation, will you be my best man?
Mama, please promise me you'll be nice to James when he gets here.
Of course I'll be nice to him. Why shouldn't I be?
I know, but don't be too polite.
Well, now, maybe I'd better not meet him at all.
Oh, Mother.
Of course, I warn you that I mean to find out something about any man who wants to marry my daughter.
Well, naturally, Mama, but please be discreet.
He needn't think that because you have no father, he can pull the wool over people's eyes.
He's not trying to pull the wool over anything.
Don't tell me about lawyers, dear. After all, everybody knows that a lawyer...
Oh, there he is. Now, please, Mama, please keep an open mind. I'm sure you'll find James charming.
Go on and let the man in.
I can tell by the gleam in your eye, but...
All right, I'll let him in.
No. No, I'll get it.
Don't. Anne. And your slip showing.
Oh.
Anne, darling.
Hello, James.
How could I ever have doubted?
James, no, not now. I mean, there's Mother.
Mother? Oh, of course, your mother. How is she?
Very well, thank you. Mother, this is James. James, this is Mother.
How do you do, Mr. Wallace?
How do you do, Mrs. Caldwell? Can't tell you what a pleasure it is to meet you at last. I've looked forward to this for such a long time.
3 weeks.
Well, Anne has told me so much about you, I feel I know you.
Yes, that's very nice. Anne, dear, could I see you in the other room for just a moment?
Now, Mother?
Yes. Please excuse us, Mr. Wallace. It's just a little family matter.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Mama, did you have to do that?
Close the door.
What is it, Mama?
You never told me he was so short.
Oh, Mama.
You can't trust short men. They always have chips on their shoulders.
5'7" is not really short. And besides, a man's height has got nothing to do with anything.
Your Uncle Jonathan, who ran away with the elephant girl,
I'm not staying around another second. Are you coming out there with me, or shall I go alone?
Your Uncle Jonathan was only
5 feet. I'm opening the door, Mama.
But I'm just trying to take the place of your father, that's all.
Well, that little morsel of feminine business is over with. Sorry, James.
Oh, that's perfectly all right.
You know how women are, Mr. Wallace.
Oh, of course.
Are there many women in your family?
Well, not in my immediate family. I have no sisters.
Oh, then you don't know how women are.
Well, I guess I don't.
I was just wondering, because you said you did. Would anyone care for a cup of tea?
I'd love one.
What about you, Mother?
Not just now, thanks, dear.
I believe I'll join you, James.
Oh, good. Just a little milk.
There.
Thank you.
Perhaps Mr. Wallace would care for something a little stronger, dear.
Oh, no, this is fine.
Oh, come now, Mr. Wallace, wouldn't you rather have whiskey? You don't have to stand on ceremony with me.
Really, Mrs. Caldwell,
James,
I rarely...
James doesn't drink whiskey, Mother. But I may start any minute. James, have one of these cookies. I think you'll like them.
Oh, they look delicious. Thank you. Well, Mrs. Caldwell, is this your first trip to New York?
Oh, my, no.
I think New York is just a bit too noisy for Mother's taste. She's a farm girl at heart.
Well, I can appreciate that. When I was a boy, I used to spend my summers in a farm in Saskatchewan. Stayed with my aunt. Never forget those days. Something wonderful about a farm, isn't there, Mrs. Caldwell?
All there is to a farm is a lot of hard work.
Yes, of course, but the kind of work that keeps you young and strong.
It killed my mother at the age of 58.
Anne, could I possibly have another cup of tea?
Oh, certainly. Mother, are you sure you don't care for anything?
No, thank you, dear. Mr. Wallace, how is it that...
How about a cookie, Mother? They're very good.
No, thank you, dear. Mr. Wallace, I understand...
Would you like me to make you a sandwich? I have some cheese.
I'm not hungry, dear. Mr. Wallace...
Excuse me, Mrs. Caldwell, but why don't you just try calling me James?
I will, Mr. Wallace. Just as soon as it feels comfortable for me to do so.
Oh, yes.
You didn't know that I had such an old-fashioned mother, did you, James?
Well, you know what they say. Old-fashioned things are the best things.
Really? I never heard anyone say that.
No? Oh, I thought it was quite a well-known saying. I've heard it often. I believe I've read it, too. I can't remember just where. Anne, could I have some more tea?
Certainly. I was about to ask, Mr. Wallace, what brought you to New York?
Well, I came here on a visit while I was at law school.
Harvard, incidentally, Mother.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. I came down on a visit, and I just fell in love with the city. I was fascinated by the idea of living in the midst of so many millions of people. Don't know whether that makes any sense.
I know what you mean. It's a perfect city to hide in.
James wasn't... Mother, James wasn't looking for a place to hide in.
Oh, I wasn't suggesting that he was looking for a place to hide. I was just making an observation.
Tell me, Mr. Wallace, I hear that New York is overloaded with lawyers. Can a young man really make a living here?
Well, I think
by living, I mean 8 to 12,000 a year.
Well, I tell you, Mrs. Caldwell,
Mother,
it's not...
I hate to interrupt this interesting conversation, but we've run out of tea.
Yes, well, all right, go ahead, dear, and make some more. Mr. Wallace and I have lots to talk about.
Yes.
Oh, that's the point. I need him in the kitchen to open a jar of olives.
Well, I don't like olives, thank you.
They're for James. He loves olives.
Will you excuse me, please, Mrs. Caldwell?
Oh, certainly. Anne, dear, we need more hot water.
Hot water? I'm in it up to my hairline.
Oh, James, I've never been so embarrassed in my life. How do you feel?
As though I just lost 2 falls out of 3.
I'm terribly, terribly sorry. I had no idea she'd act this way.
She'd only stop calling me Mr. Wallace.
She's never been like this before. She's really very sweet.
I'm sure she must be.
She's terribly worried because we've only known each other 3 weeks. You must try to understand.
Believe me, I'm trying. But have you any idea what it feels like to sit there and be taken apart?
Now, don't make it worse than it is, James.
Have you any idea what it feels like to be...
You just asked that question.
But this is a nerve-wracking experience.
James, are you sure you aren't dramatizing it just a little bit?
I never dramatize anything.
Well, never mind. It's perfectly normal to dramatize.
I don't care whether it's normal. I don't do it.
Oh, you have a temper.
Ann, I'm sorry.
I didn't know that about you.
I wouldn't say that I had an abnormal temper.
Perhaps not. Still, you have a temper.
Ann, how long have you had this habit of repeating things?
You see how little we know each other. You see?
I'm sorry, Ann. I guess I'm upset. Ann, when are you going to answer my question? Will you marry me?
Oh, James. Mother was right. There are so many things that people must know about each other if they are to have a happy marriage.
That isn't true. If they love each other, they can work everything out.
That isn't realistic. What about the little things?
What little things? Children?
No, no. Suppose you're grumpy in the morning or don't like canaries or something. Do you like canaries?
No, I don't.
You see? There you are.
Why? Do you like canaries?
Of course not. But suppose I did. Just suppose I were mad about canaries and you couldn't stand them. We'd be miserable, don't you see?
Anne, come here.
No, 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 James. This is very important. This is something we must stop and be very cool-headed about. Tomorrow evening, you and I are going to sit down and find out all the things about each other that we haven't discussed. Agreed.
Oh, Anne, why do we have to go through... Oh, all right. Agreed.
Now, James, we must have an objective and logical conversation. Is that understood?
Yes, Miss Caldwell.
You're being facetious.
No, Miss Caldwell. Just good-natured.
James, if something that's important to me is just a joke to you, then there's something seriously wrong between us.
All right, dear. Actually, I think it's important, too.
Oh, I hope you do. I really hope so. Now, I've made a list of things, and if you think of anything else, just ask.
Right. You comfortable in that chair, darling?
Please, James, there will be no affection.
Sorry. By the way, where's your mother?
She's out shopping.
More likely a police headquarters, seeing if I have a record.
James, you're being frivolous.
No, darling. Simply apprehensive.
Now, let's look at the situation dispassionately.
I'm sure we agree on everything.
Well,
I feel it.
That's what we're here to find out. Now, one, do you sleep with a window open? Well?
Do you?
You must tell me.
Oh, I always have the window open.
You do?
Well, always. How about you?
I can't sleep if there's a draft.
You can't?
No.
Well, after all, what's a little thing like a window? We can
no,
always close...
No, no, James. No, don't make light of it. It's an important difference between us.
I suppose so.
It's vital to find out these things now. Well, now, let's go on.
That's probably the only point on which we disagree.
Two. Are you untidy in the home? I mean, do you drop things all over the place, or do you like to be neat at all times?
Oh. Suppose I've got to be honest.
You must.
At home, I'm a pig.
Oh, dear.
But I could change so easily.
Oh, no. It's easy to say so. But we can change our personalities.
Anne, we can compromise.
Compromises never work. Now, do you like modern furniture or period?
Well, that's easy. Period, of course. Just looking at that modern stuff makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, James! What a narrow-minded attitude to take. We must go forward, move with the times.
Forward? I've sat on stumps that had more grace.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm sorry, but a person who prefers archaic period furniture to the clean lines of the future must be old-fashioned and stuffy.
Oh, now, listen to us.
It's no use pretending. We don't agree on anything. We'd never get along. It'd be ketchup and eggs on a bigger scale.
What was that?
Ketchup and eggs.
Oh, I like ketchup and eggs.
You see, we'd irritate each other to death. And don't say we could change. We couldn't be happy. We'd be uncomfortable. You know it.
Oh, I don't know. None of those things strikes me as critical. By the way, don't you like ketchup with eggs?
No, I don't. You see how irritating it would be to face such differences when there's no escape?
All right, Anne. You win. Let's just call it off. Perhaps you're right. If you are, we're lucky we found out about the differences in time.
We've been very sensible.
We certainly have. You know, Anne, you're a very bright girl. Very pretty one, too. Actually, what we've done is unusually intelligent.
Yes, it is.
I felt very depressed about it at first, but... Oh, I love that perfume. But now that it's over, well, it's a great relief.
Yes, I know what you mean. It was something that had to be done.
You're right, darling. Absolutely right.
No matter how painful.
Yes, and Anne. Anne, now that we've done it.
What?
Can I have an answer? Will you marry me?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
And so the marriage took place.
And we moved into a modern house.
With some 18th century furniture.
And closed bedroom windows. Good night, James.
Good night, darling.
This was the first episode of The Marriage, a new radio series starring Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin as Anne and James Wallace. Anne's mother was played by Muriel Bremner. Tony was played by Charles Flynn. Music was conducted by Joseph Galicchio and composed by Emil Soderstrom. The Marriage was directed by Milton Merlin and presented by the National Broadcasting Company. NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.